Would you turn with me in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29? And today we're going to look at verses 4 through 13. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 13 from the New King James Version. This is what it says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that there may be increase there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is the word of God. Amen. I want to tag this text this morning, a letter to God's people in captivity. A letter to God's people in captivity. There are times in life when it is God's will, for whatever reason, that his chosen people should come through the fires of trials and tribulations. This statement is not a new one. It is a truth as old as the fall of man. The Bible is punctuated with narratives of God's people traversing the storms of life. Such is the case for Judah in the text. This scenario that we are looking at this morning shows the tribe of Judah, God's chosen people, in what one of their poets called a strange land experience. Judah as a nation has been taken into captivity and relocated in the land of Babylon. They are prisoners of war. They are exiled from their land and from the city of Jerusalem. They are away from the temple, and they find themselves in a time of deep despair, difficulty, and danger. It was into that situation that God sent a letter which reveals his presence, his participation, and his plans for his people. This morning, we want to take a few minutes and look into the letter to try to see if we can understand how we are to respond to the inevitable strange land experiences in life. What does the word of God say to the people of God who are living through difficult times? If you come with me this morning, we can consider this letter written by the prophet Jeremiah, addressed to the people of God, Judeans, who are living in exile. As we look, I pray, my prayer is that you and I can gain some perspective and learn some principles that the Word of God has to offer. First, let's consider the plight of the people. Judah is in exile because of their rebellion against God. The Babylonian army has completely destroyed the temple and much of the city. And Judah is to spend 70 years living in Babylon. They were torn away from their land, relocated, dislocated. They were scattered throughout Babylon in small, impoverished colonies. There were minorities in the Babylonian Empire. And while there may have been some who fared well, like Daniel and his three friends who were forced to assimilate to the Babylonian culture, for many, Psalm 137 paints a picture of life in the Babylonian Empire. You remember Psalms 137? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps on the willows in the midst of it. For those who carried us away captive asked us to sing a song. And those who plundered us requested myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And you know the response. How can we sing Zion songs in a strange land? It was a difficult time. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 3 captures the pathos of the common folk. It says there, Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All of her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. This is the plight of the people of God, God's chosen. That's minority life in the Babylonian Empire. And that's their plight, their predicament as God's people, God's chosen. And it is there in that situation that they receive a life-changing pronouncement from the Word of God. Consider the pronouncement of the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. You get that? They were carried away, but God caused it. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, invaded Judah, destroyed the temple, and took captive the people, but God caused it, and God allowed it to happen. Nebuchadnezzar reigned supreme on earth. He was, in Daniel's interpretation of his dream, the head of nations. He was the gold head on the great statue. Notwithstanding, God is sovereign over all creation, over heaven and earth. God is sovereign. This reoccurring theme of the sovereignty of God is prominent in Scripture, isn't it? And the reason it's prominent, my brothers and sisters, is because God wants to remind us that on every occasion and in every situation, His people are never outside of His domain. That's a wonderful word this morning, that whatever your situation is, whatever you're dealing with right now as an individual, as a family, as a nation, if you belong to God, God, you are never outside of God's domain. Amen. It's a pronouncement of the sovereignty of God. And my brothers and sisters, when I read that this week, I knew that this is something that we need today. We need to remember that God is sovereign. Amen. We need to remember that he's on the throne. Amen. I'm looking around at the pain and suffering around the world and how people are suffering. Even in this country as never before. In this country, people are dying in record numbers every day. Children and babies go to bed hungry every night. The number of homeless families are on the rise. The rich are getting richer and more callous and cold-hearted. Domestic violence is soaring. Satanic influences permeate the culture. The light of Jesus is flickering flame while the church entertains the masses. And white police are still killing unarmed black men. The virus is mutating faster than science can keep up. And everybody is infected with sin, sickness, and disease. For me, this is a strange land situation. But when we consider all of that, we know that God is still in control. He is sovereign. And while I may not understand what the Lord is doing, I do hear the prophet Isaiah announce, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So my brothers and sisters, I am resolved today to enter the new year, reminded that whatever happens, it is to fulfill God's perfect plan and purpose, and that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Can I get some praise right there? That all things work together for good. When we accept by faith that God is sovereign, it's a faith stance. When you accept by faith that God is sovereign, it has practical application. For me, it means that we don't have to worry about anything. We can choose not to worry and work on taking everything to God in prayer. When all the world around us seems to be in chaos and turmoil, when the world seems out of control, it's comforting to know that our powerful, loving Heavenly Father has it all in his hands and that nothing happens that is out of his control. He is sovereign. Be anxious for nothing, the songwriter says, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which exceeds all understanding, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The pronouncement from the pen of the prophet Jeremiah is a message from God to the people of God who are in a predicament. Don't worry, I'm in control. Consider God's prescript, his command, verses 5 through 10. Build houses and make yourself at home. Put in gardens and eat what grows in the country. Marry, have children. Encourage your children to marry and have children so that you can thrive in that country and not waste away. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. God's plan is that you and I should be productive even in our predicament. Be productive in your predicament. We are in a difficult place. We are to work while we are here. He says to the people in exile, live your life. Do what you can. And it's really a word of encouragement. In other words, my brothers and sisters, I know where you are. I know what you're dealing with. But don't give in. Don't surrender to laziness and drunkenness and hopelessness. do what you can and encourage one another, especially the young people. That's God's prescript. Be encouraged. And if you don't leave with anything else this morning, know that God is in charge and be encouraged. Encouragement, my brothers and sisters, is a gift. And we ought to encourage one another. Encouragement makes it easy to live in a fallen world in a holy way. Encouragement gives hope. Encouragement helps us through the times of discipline and testing. Encouragement nourishes patience and kindness. Let's encourage one another and be encouraged. Encouragement makes it easy to sacrifice our own desires for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Without encouragement, life would feel pointless and burdensome. Without encouragement, we can be overwhelmed by the very real pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we may feel unloved. So be encouraged and encourage somebody else. Without encouragement, we begin to think that God is a liar or is unconcerned with our welfare. But I want you to know this morning that God cares. So the Bible tells us to encourage one another. Amen. To remind each other of the truth that God loves us, that God equips us, that God treasures us, and that in our struggles, God is at work, which makes our struggles worth it. Be encouraged. God's grace is sufficient. He's able to preserve you. God's grace will empower you. God's grace will strengthen you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says his strength is perfected in our weakness. Be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. Be encouraged. Because in all of this, there is a plan of God for your life. Amen. What you're going through right now didn't catch God by surprise. He's not dealing with us as an afterthought. God had us in mind. Look at verse 11. Final. This is my final point. The pronouncement of the sovereign plan of God. And here it is. And let me say that his plan was for the nation, but it's applicable to individuals. This is what he says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is God's word to God's people. They are in a strange land, minorities in the Babylonian Empire. They have been plundered. They have been carried away. They are afflicted and oppressed. And yet God's pronouncement says, I'm thinking about you. I know the thoughts that I have for you as individuals and as a nation. And my brothers and sisters, God's thoughts toward us has been in God's mind from eternity past. Before God laid the foundations of the earth, he had you in his mind. Before God commanded the light to shine in the darkness, he had his thoughts toward you. Thank God that his thoughts toward us preceded our birth. In eternity past, God chose and predestined you and I for sonship and daughtership and by adoption into his family through the Lord Jesus Christ. You were in the thoughts of God when he knit your DNA together in your mother's womb. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned in advance for you to walk therein. You were in God's thoughts when he preserves saving grace for you, for it is by grace that you have been saved. You were in the thoughts of God when he decided to come down 42 generations and take upon himself a body of flesh to be born in a manger to give you access to his glory. You were in the mind of God. Thank God for his thoughts toward us. Amen. Amen. These were predetermined thoughts. Amen. God thought of us when he sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins, that he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and chastised that we might be blessed. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you were in the thoughts of God when he died upon the cross, taking upon himself our guilt, our sin, and our shame. You were in the thoughts of God when he defeated death, hell, and the graves. Thank God that his thoughts toward us preceded our coming. You were in the thoughts of God when he raised Jesus from the dead and gave him all power in his hands. The pronouncement, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, peace that passes all understanding, peace that neither the world nor the things of the world can give." The Lord Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not do I give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid." The Apostle Paul prayed, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. The Lord be with you. Amen. I will give you, I have thoughts of the future and of the hope." To people who are in difficult places, don't give up. Don't give in. Let us work while it is day. Let us press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Let us let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Let us be good stewards of our time and of our talents and of our treasures. Let us advance the kingdom of God on earth and live as kingdom people, employing kingdom practices and enjoying kingdom privileges and promises. And at the same time, let us look toward the future, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently. The songwriter said, "Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." I'm standing with the psalm writer this morning when he says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweeter frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand." I said, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." God's letter to his people in captivity. Give God some praise right there.